Okay, so it comes up in the Gemara in Chesamet Aleph in the context of Trefa Shaharak, Trefa Shenerak, Vichadome, whatever. So if you look, I put the Gemara in the first source. Amarava Harig is that Trefa Potter. If you call it Trefa, you're Potter. Either because he's not legally alive, or he's not legally alive for these purposes, or there's a special gzeres hakasev that you're only chayev misa for killing someone of lesser legal status than you, which is the shita of Avram. Utrefa shaharag b'fnei bezdin chayev, and if a trefa kills in front of bezdin, then he's chayev shalom b'fnei bezdin pater. If he's not in front of bezdin, he's pater. To b'fnei bezdin chayev dechsev v'yar tarah mikirbecha. If he kills in front of bezdin, he's chayev because the pasuk says that you have to expunge evil from your midst. I'm glad you like that word. It's like, if I can impress the people going to Ivy Leagues, then I'm doing well. Shlo b'fnei bezdin pater. If you kill not in front of bezdin, then you're exempt. Dehavila edus shi'ata yochol hazima. Because in order for witnesses to testify, in order for people to testify, against them? What? If I have to, I'll give it balpeh, but at least the Gemara I'd like to read inside. Whatever.
This is
what?
This is like actual.
Thank you. This is actually very helpful. Okay, because in order for the witnesses to testify against him, they have to be able to become Eidim Zomim, but since the Treif himself is, again, not legally considered alive, not fully alive, whatever the case may be, and therefore they cannot be convicted for having tried to put him to death, therefore they cannot themselves be put to death, which means they're not subject to the laws of Azama. We call Eidos Yad Yachal Azima Lo Shema Eidos. And any testimony that is not able, is not subject to the rules of Hazama, is not considered Eidos. V'amarava Aroveas Atrefa Chayev. If one sodomizes Treva is Chayev, Treva Sherava, Bifnei Bezin Chayev, Shlo Bifnei Bezin Pater. If a trefa sodomizes, so then if it's in front of bezin, he's chayiv. If not, he's exempt. If nei bezin chayiv, yachsev yartar mikarbecha. Shlom if nei bezin patur, dabla edushit toyochal azima. Hasu lamali. Why do I need both cases? Hainu achle the same. So the Gemara says haroveas a trefa tzvichalei ma'udetem alahavi kaman demeshamish meis vili pater. I might have thought that if you sodomize a trefa, you'd be patur. For fundamental reasons, namely that it's as if you are sleeping with someone who's dead, and therefore you should be exempt. You still get pleasure, and therefore, and that's the fundamental answer. So so you are still chayef mikradin. Edim that testified against a treva and became edim zomen, they will also not be killed. Edim treva shehuzmu neharagin. But Eidei Shreva will become Zomim will. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Eidei Shreva Shehuzmu Ein Neharagin Levish Einan Bezomim Mei Zomimen. If Eidim who are themselves Shreva become Eidim Zomimen, they cannot be killed because they're not Bezomim Zomimen. Meaning the witness, the Eidim against them cannot themselves become Eidim Zomimen. Okay? So, we have a principle here that appears in many places in Shas. It appears here. It appears in Daf Mem Aleph. It appears in Baba Kama Daf Ayin Hey. That any Eidos which is not subject to the laws of Hazama is not defined as Eidos. Okay? So, what we're going to try to do is explore the nature of this law. Right? What is it about Hazama, the ability to Hazama, then makes it necessary for Eidos? Do we have any idea what happened to the light here? No idea? Okay. Fine. Do we want to switch rooms? Okay, fine. It's fine. Whatever. Okay. So we have to ask, what is it about Ada? What is the rule, Ada Shechel Azima? Why is it true? And Doch Kedei, we want to understand what that tells us about the legal system in general. Because one of the things that we'll see, and this is why I wanted to pick the topic, not just because it appears in Daf Ayin Ches, but because in many ways, Eidos Shechel Azima is a central law in understanding the nature of Sanhedrin Bichlal. To give you an example, just to prove that case, before I even get into it, and we'll return to this Gemara, if you look at the second Gemara, this is the Gemara in Daf Yizayin Mad Beis. So this is a very strange Gemara. The Gemara here is trying to figure out how many people you need to live in a city in order for it to be a city that gets a Sanhedrin, a Sanhedrin of 23. Okay? So Gemara says, V'kami e be'ir v'heiru'ya le'Sanhedrin me'a v'esrim. How many people need to live in the city in order for the in order for it to be deserving of a Sanhedrin? So the Mishnah had said 120. So me'a v'esrim me'a v'ditayu. Why do you need 120? So esrim u'shlosha k'neged Sanhedrin k'tanah. So you need 23 for the Sanhedrin. U'shalosh shuros shel esrim u'shlosha. And then another 3 rows of 23. So that you have backups, right? You have the Talmidim of the Sanhedrin, right? The people doing Shimush or whatever the case may be, right? Hare Tishim Utartis. So that's 92. Vasara Batlanin Shobes HaKnesses. And then you need 10 Batlanin. What are the 10 Batlanin? The 10 people who are paid to do nothing but sit in the shul, in the base medrash, and learn and be available for minyan, v'chadoma. Hare Meo Tres. Right? 102. Shnei Sofrem. That's Abish, Shnei Chazanin, Shnei Balidinin, or Shnei Edim. So now we get to the interesting thing, right? So after Shnei Sofrim and Shnei Chazanin, right, so that brings us to 106. You need 2 litigants, right? 2 witnesses, Shnei Zomimin, or Shnei Zomimei Zomimin. You need the potential to have a court case where it would be me against Yoni, and then 2 witnesses, Josh and Shvert, then witnesses who are going to turn them into Edom Zomim, Yair, and I can't even see who's here, Joseph, and then 2 witnesses who will turn them into Zomim, Reuven and Elon. Okay? Hare Meyav Arbiso, this is 114. The call, and then to get to 120, we say Vitanya Kolir Shain by Sarah Dvar Malalu, Ein Nam Gacham Rashai Lador Besocha, Bezdin Makin Veonchin, Vekupa Shil Tztaka, Nigbeis b'shnayim etzchalechem b'shlosho beis kenesis beis amerchos beis akizei rofe v'umen v'lavlar ramatinokos v'shem akiva amraaf mine peira v'nei shemine peira me'ir nezainayim. Okay, fine. But what do we have in this Gemara? What does this Gemara tell us? Right? The Gemara here is defining the smallest city that's considered a legitimate enough city that a Sanhedrin should sit in it. Meaning, right, what is the smallest unit of society in which we are required to set up the full force of the legal system, right? If I decide to go camping, right, for a night, then there is no chiyuv to set up a bezdin in that campsite, because it's not a city. But we know there's a chiyuv to set up batei dinim, right? We derive it from pasuk. Thank you. Shoftim, shoftim, tinden l'chol b'chol sharecha. In every city, part of what it means to have a city is to set up a legal system, right? Setting up a legal system is the most basic of laws. Right? Harayah, it also exists for?
Everyone.
For non-Jews, right? It's dinin, right? Again, whatever, without getting into details, the Rambam thinks dinim is the mitzvah to set up a court that's going to protect the other mitzvahs. The Ramban says that no, you have to set up other laws, right? The Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Yadalad Velas Malachim, the Ramban in Perek Lamed Gilel Bereishis, quoted there in the Ketzav Mishnah, right? Setting up a legal system is the most basic part of society. Now that's straightforward. So now, when the Gemara is trying to figure out, so what is the smallest entity of society? So it said, well, the smallest number of people in a city would be a Sanhedrin, all the people who are in training, right, meaning the basics of the court itself, and then you need the possibility of actually having a court case. And what does the Gemara define as necessary to have a court case? So I understand, Shnei Bali Dinen, right, the actual litigants. You need people who are going to need to come to court. Right, then you need witnesses because you need to actually be able to verify what's going on. But then the Gemara says you also need zomen and zomei zomen. So what you see is the Gemara thinks intrinsic to the notion of a legal system is not just dayanim, is not just edim, is not just balidinin, but a zomen and zomei zomen. There's something about hazama, something about the ability of ages to be subject to hazama that it actually defines the legal system and By derivation, it defines the smallest unit or the most basic unit of a halachic society. Okay, so we ought to figure out. So, what is this thing called Yishar Halazima? Why is it true? So, obviously, there's Meikara. There's 2 very simple directions to take this in. We'll flesh it out a little bit more. But what are the 2 directions to take it in, right? What? Why would you need Eish Yachol Azim? Sh'ata Yachol Azim, huh? Why do you need, Ilan?
Creates a certain level of fear that makes the testimony more
Right, so Svara Pshuta, on a very basic level, is Eidos is very, very powerful. Right? If you remember Rasha Weiss this year, which apparently just went up and is now on Hirhurim this week, right? The Shir Miuchad from Yeshivat Har Tzion Be'inyan Eidos from Rasha Weiss, right? Eidos is Xeris HaKosovitz, right? It's a huge chiddush that we believe Eidim B'chlal, right? Somehow we give Eidim the power to be believed ad hasof, right? I explained to some of you, basically what we call a Bayesian one, right? Meaning, it's not actually that we know that they're telling the truth, but epistemologically we have to treat it as if it's 100% true. You can forget that I ever said that if you don't want to know philosophy. If you're more interested, then you can ask me afterwards. So, in order to prevent people from misusing that power, we need to set up protection. We need to scare them away from testifying falsely. Now, in general, what happens if Eidim are contradicted in court? Nothing. Right? They just throw it out. Right? It might become puzzle Eidos, depending on some sugyas in Bava Basra, on Truas. Right? Even Babi Raglav, right? Even if I testify that I saw, you know, whoever in this room get killed, and then they walk into the room, right? So we know that I'm lying. Even then, right, you don't really punish them. Not exactly sure what happens, but right, you don't punish them. The only time where you really implement punishment is by Eidim Zomen. If two witnesses come in, right, Makos Tafei, and they say, Imano Hayisim Ba'oso Yom B'makom Ploni, when you claimed you were testifying, you were with us in a different city, so then we punish you. So if that's the case, this is the only way that we can actually instill fear. So on a very simple level, one way of understanding it is to say that it's simply a technical thing. We need to scare you. What other things do we do in theory to scare you? At the beginning, right? We warn you at the beginning of the chomer of din. How bad it would be. Well,
I just saw a Mishnah.
What?
He talks about a
chomer. Yeah, well, the other thing we do, right, to make sure that Eidim are, is Drisha v'chakira. Now, the second way we could take it, and this will come to Josh's point, right, what's the other way we can take it, is that Eidim v'chal azima, right, is a Brisker's favorite formulation for everything, without even understanding what it means, but... What? It's formal to the Shem Eidus. Thank you. Right? Chaloi Shem Eidus requires... Whatever that means. I don't know what that means. What?
Why?
Ah, why? It's formal, it's formal. It's formal, it's formal. Why do you ask questions? It's a chalois, it makes sense now. It's Xeris HaKasu.
Formality of what?
What?
According to the first approach,
yeah.
If you say that Zomen are there to make sure that the Zomen are there to make sure that the Zomen are telling once you already have Zomen, then the list it could go on forever.
Good. Hold that thought, and we'll get to that point exactly. Because examining this is good. One of the questions is going to be, what is the extent of this? Right? The Gemara didn't say you need Zomen, right? You don't need, right? So we have to get to the Gvul, and that obviously is going to get to the core of this issue. So those are the two basic approaches, right? One is to say it's a pure deterrent. The other one to say there's something formal about it. What that means, we'll see in a minute. Okay, but let's look at the sources inside. Okay, so source 3. Right, this is what Josh was referring to. Right, one of the requirements for Eidos is Hayobokinoso b'sheva chakiros. One of the things we have to do is what we call drisha v'chakira, right? We have to examine the witnesses. So you ask 7 questions: beiza shavua, beiza shana, beiza chodesh. Become the chodesh beza yom beza shah beza makom, right? When and what time? Right? Where and what time? Right? Exactly where it was and exactly what time? Right? Day, month, year, etc. Rabbi Yosi yom beza shah beza makom. Makirinatemoso hisratembo. Did you warn him? Haovid avad zara et mi avad. And then you ask him other details. So then the Gemara asks, for source 4, mich the idividu doraisehi. If both of these types of questions, right, both the basic when, where questions and all the other questions are maishna chakiros and maishna bedikos. What are the difference between these different types of questions? So I'm really hachi hashto. I said, are they the same? Bechakiros, amar echad eni odeya edusan betela. By chakiros, if anyone says, I don't know the answer, and I abstain, it's batel. Why? Bidikos, like what color shirt was he wearing? The secondary questions. Omar Echman Yodei Dusan Kayemes. The bidikos, the minor questions, so it's not possible if you say I don't know, it's only possible if you contradict, right? But it's not intrinsic. So here the Gemara asserts that what? Not only that Eidos Yachalazim, but it's not that it's critical to Eidos, but what else is it, right? The entire system of Eidos, Drisha V'Chakira, is actually, right, modeled around Eidos Shata Yachal Hazima. One of the basic requirements of Eidos, the most basic requirement of Eidos, meaning what questions you ask, what process you go through, is shaped by these requirements. Now let's move, right, keep that in mind, and now we'll see the sources of what is, right, why do we have it? So, the first possibility, which we said, is that it's simply a deterrent, which seems to be the simple read of what emerges from a lot of Rishonim. Rashi says this in Yuzayim Beis, Ushnei Zomen, Sheisroa, Eidim Light Sheker, Shelo Yuzmu. Right, so that people will be afraid. Ushnei Zomen, Zomen, Shemi Yischayev, Baldin, Alpi Eidim, Yaskir Shnaim, Lahaziman, Lefiha, Achtar Shnaim, Achirim, Beir, Sheisroa, Eil Mehem, Im Navo, Lahazim, Eidim, Yavo, Eil, Shnaim, Viazimu, Ofsanu. Right, you need Zomen, so that the witnesses will be afraid to testify falsely. You need Zomen, Zomen, so the Mazimen will be afraid to testify falsely. Same Piskei Arid, Shnei Zomen, Kadesh Yisro Ha'edem, Yaru Ha'edem, Vayitsheker, Shema Yizimu Osam, Shnei Zomen, Zomen, Sheis Bachlu Ha'mazimen, Lahazim B'sheker, Shlo Yavu, Eilo Shnaim Yizimu Osam. Now, the obvious question, which Ariel pointed out, is, well, why is there not an end to this? So, the Tlach says, So what's the Tzlach answer, right? Why is there no end to it? Ariel?
Because they're believed based on the
Well, basically, right, what's his argument? Look, at some point, Mistama people are afraid of it, right? It's not like you actually need it. Like, he doesn't give a fundamental answer. He just says, look, if it's about being afraid, so why, what, why Zomen and Zome Zomen? Because after that, Mistama, they're afraid anyways. Like, there comes a point when, like, you don't have to worry about all eventualities. This is a psychological game anyways. Right, you don't need a million Eidim because it's just practical. It's just technical. You want to make them afraid. And they're going to be afraid. For whatever reason, they'll be afraid. So you see that, right, the Tzlach, right, Rashi and the Piskei Arid at least explained that the reasoning behind it is that they'll be afraid. Right, the Tzlach takes that very seriously legally and says that's really why there's an end to this. Because practically, we assume they're not going to be afraid. Oh, the lights have really been off for a while. This is interesting. Okay. What?
They generally don't turn back on.
It's not going.
Does he give shear in the dark?
Yep.
It's
so ridiculous. Okay. Whatever. Okay, fine. Now, look at the next two sources. Now, Rashi in different places sosher himself and seemed to say something else. So let's first read the Gemara that he's commenting on. Even though we read part of it before, the end of it really before, and then we'll look at Rashi. Amar Chanan, Eidin Amir Rasa Shehuzmu, and Neragim. Right, if the witnesses that testify against a betrothed, whatever, a Naira who has done Irisin, if they become Eidim Zomen, and Neragim, Mitoch Shechol Omar, La'asra Al-Bai Labano, they don't become Eidim Zomen because they could say, we just wanted to forbid her on her husband. Aiva Asrubab. But didn't they warn her? And if they warned her, what did they warn her about?
Misa.
Which means they wanted to kill her, which means they should get killed. Delo Asrubab. They didn't warn her. Vid lo Asrubab. Hechamik Delo. But if that's the case, she shouldn't be killed. Bishchabeira. Valiba de Rebbe Yehuda. It's a woman who knows halacha. According to the position of Rebbe Yehuda, the Rebbe Yehuda, Omer, Chaver, and Tarach Hasra. Because according to him, someone who knows halacha doesn't need Hasra. Because the only point of Asra is to know the difference between Shogi and Mezid. It came to Dinhu Lo Mikdale, I Heche Mikdala, and since they won't be killed, how could she be killed? Havil Ejishidach Alazima, it's not, right, it's Ejishidach Alazima, Pejishidach Alazima, Loshma Eidos, Hachanami, Maybe it's true. Right? They will only be able to aser her on her husband, but they won't be killed. She won't be killed. So then how could you ever find a case where you would in fact put the woman to death? When she did it twice, because now when she was mizana twice, because then you can no longer claim that you wanted to aser on her husband because she's already aser. So then they said, well, maybe it's that you wanted to aser her on the person who slept with her. No, she committed to us with the same person twice. And then goes on. Okay, fine. Look at Rashi. Rashi said, lo shema edus. If, right, which, you know, any brisker looks at that and it just yells formality, right? Lo shema edus. Ho v'yeshter l'kayimbo v'darashta v'chakarta v'darshu ha'shoftim v'nei shekara eid. Why is Eishah Kala Zima not kasher? Because the formal definitions of edus require vidarashta vicharkarta edev shoftim vinei echekar ha'ed, right? You need to go through the whole process, and you can't, right? Now, yes, Yair.
Why can't you?
What?
Why can't you?
Well, because
I ask the same questions.
That's the thing, is right. Rashi thinks that Drish and Chakira are intrinsically connected somehow to Eishah Kala Zima, right? It's interesting because this particular case, right, the problem doesn't seem to be in the Drish and Chakira. The problem seems to be, right, that they can get out of, right, the claiming that they ever testified about the crime, right? But Rashi here claims, regardless of how it exactly fits into the context of the Mari, he just says, look, since Drish and Chakira, right, tells you that the Edim are required to testify about the time, right, means, right, that they have to be held accountable for the time. And as Eishah Yatal Chalazima, they can't be held accountable, right, for the time, and they definitely can't, and if they have a way out, they can't be punished for not telling the time, and therefore you run out the formality, right? Presumably by bringing both psukim, that's what he's saying, is that you need, the Darasha V'chakarta, that they need to be able to be examined, and they need to be able to be caught and convicted. Right? They need to be punished for the falseness. If not, there's something lacking in the fundamental process. Right? It's not per se that they're afraid. It's just that. Thank God. Okay.
Which comes first, Drisha Shapira or Hazama?
So that's a good question, right? And that's one of the things that's unclear. Is that it's clear that, right, according to this position, it's clear that just like Drish and Chakira are definitional to Edus, so is Eishah Kala Zima. It's not really clear which comes first. It sounds like, right, Eishah Kala Zima is the impetus behind Drish and Chakira, right? That, well, really they all go together, is that you need to be able to hold Edim accountable, you need them to specify their Edus. Their Edus has to be specific enough that they can be held accountable, right? The Chosa Chalila, right? But it's definitional to the process of Edus, right? Part of the Edus process is questioning the witnesses, making sure they're telling the truth. In order to do that, you need the possibility of Hazama. If you look at the next source, Kovach Shirim, right, he says, Rahman Amar Vasizam Lo Kasher Zamam. The Kasher, the Kadmi Nolan, the Meniokh, the Kaim Kasher Zamam, Dusan Betela. Still, how would you know that without it, it's Batel? It's Rahmanar, Dezeya Dinan Mela, Shein Koch Eidos, Elam Huba Osa Ofen Akasuv. Ofen Acher, Makadav Lo Matina Shatoa, like Dusan, Vaina Kalachadis Din Eidos Mats Mato. Right, if you wanted someone to say it extremely formally, right, Rol Khanan is very, very clear. Right, it's not that he's afraid, what is it? It's that might be the impetus. That might be like the tam, right? The tam hamitzvah, the motivation, right? But it's a formal halacha, which is edus, right? Right. Let's do a little chazar and Rashi Rice, right? Again, why do we leave edim? Because the Torah says so, right? The Rambam says. Did anyone actually look it up? Perek Zion and Perek Ches, Halacha Sodei Torah, right? Ches Halacha Beis. Right? Then, why do we believe in Edim? Because of the Xeris HaKasuv. Now, in a Hanami, I think Rav Asher is right. It's not Xeris HaKasuv, it's not Hilchos Lo Taima, it's not Xeris HaKasuv that, oh, it doesn't make any sense. But it means that the fact that we believe Edim as much as we do is Xeris HaKasuv. Right? Again, I described this in formal technical terminology to people. I can try it again if you want. In a minute, you want me to give you the complicated explanation of what he said? Right? The formal explanation? It's very simple, okay? A problem that philosophers / mathematicians / philosophers of mathematics / whatever, right, people who deal with epistemology, one of the questions that you have is, how do you ever really know something? How can you really believe something ad hasof? What does it mean? right? So one theory of what it means to believe something is called Bayesianism. And Bayesianism basically means that belief is a function of the evidence on the table plus your prior assumptions. And the only way to reach what's called a Bayesian one, it doesn't mean that you know it's true. It means that from your perspective, right, with your prior assumptions, you are justified in treating it as if it were 100% true. Right, that's a Bayesian one, right, is when the combination of your prior assumptions plus the evidence on the table, right, justify belief, right? Your prior assumption is that if X and Y happens, then you know it to be true. So when that happens because of your prior assumptions, right, it's true. That's basically the assumption. That's basically, the Rambam is a Bayesian. I once wrote a paper on this point, that the Rambam is a Bayesian, right? And Rosh Weiss clearly understands the Rambam is a Bayesian, right? It means that there's no logical way of ever reaching absolute belief without a prior assumption that would allow you to get to that. What's the prior assumption? Kseiras HaKosov, that God said so, right? Because otherwise you could only ever get to 99%. Right? But you don't want 99%, you want 100%, because you want to be able to use that aegis to kill somebody. You want to be able to use that aegis to verify something in the legal system ad hasof. Right? So if that's the case, so what is, right, what comes out of Rashi, what comes out of the Kovet Shirim? That aegis is a rule. There's a formal thing called aegis. And again, we can argue that there's a reason why it was set up in such a way. That might be true, but it's still a formal rule called aegis. And if the Torah says you need Drisha v'chakira and you need Eishah v'chalazima, so then not having it, it's just not called eidos. It might be something else, right? But it's not eidos per se. So those are the two perspectives. And kamuvan, they're not that far apart from each other, right? And, right, like, to be closer on this point. Right? This is, if you remember his shir, this is true. That in Dine Mamonos, most Xeris Akasovs make sense. So the difference between saying something is formal and something is substantive is not going to be that different. Right? And it's very hard to figure out, often, whether when someone's giving a reason, he's only giving a, right? Whether he's giving it on the level of Tama Mitzvos or he's giving it on the level of, whether he's giving a philosophical reason or he's giving a juridical reason. That would be the formal way of saying that, right? Meaning, does the reason actually motivate it? So here, like we said, Rashi, the Rid, say that the motivation behind Eishah Chalazima is that they'll be afraid. But they don't explain whether that's a just, you know, a practical concern or it becomes a formal concern, right? The Tzlach clearly took it as a purely formal, substantive, you know, Metzius concern, and therefore, if the Metzius isn't around, I don't have to worry about it, right? It doesn't matter that, in theory, for formal reasons, I should go ad hasof. I should go for a million generations, right? I should go eight zomei, 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 zomei. And practically, I don't have to, so I don't have to worry about it. It's a juridical rule, right? The second Rashi, in the way the Kovet Shirim understands it, is that no, it's a purely formal rule. And the end of the day, regardless of what the motivation was. Okay, so those are the two basic perspectives that emerge. Now, the most famous place where this is manifest, and now I think we'll move through sources a little bit quicker, but we have time anyways, is the first Tosfos in Makos. So let's quickly learn through the Gemara. Right, I memorized this in 8th grade. Someone challenged me. It was one of those things that was seared into my memory for a long time. Right? Right? Elok arbay minan bishponishu chayv galos enom yigalos etachlev elok az arbayim lulei ha ketzed einayim nasim zomin. Okay, I'll look at it, okay? If it's going to distract you because I'm saying about that. Right? Hagidin Ainim Asim Zomi Bar Lev Od Mikdani the Kamana, Alamrahem Echam Eden, Jerry Bosa Yom, Adam Isim Anima Comploni, Arail Zomen. Right? The Gemara, the Mishnah starts with two cases. They say, how is the Zomen? And then it brings two examples, which are not Adam Zomen. Why is that the case? Why didn't it start with the Mishnah Dav Hey, which says that, right? How do you actually make somebody Adam Zomen? Why did it start with the first Mishnah, which brings the two exceptions, and then the two or three more that are brought in Daf Beis, Amud Beis? So Gemara says, Tana Hasim Kai, he's building on the Gemara that we saw in Daf Mem Aleph, that Kol HaZomen Makdim Lo Samisa, Kol HaZomen Makdim Lo Samisa, Kol HaZomen Makdim Lo Samisa, Makdim Lo Samisa, Lo Misa Cheres. As we saw in the Gemara, that most Adam Zomen get the actual punishment that you're supposed to get, that they were supposed to give to the person. That's not true by the Zombe Bas Kohen Ubala. They get the Misa of the man and not the woman. That's the conclusion later on in the Gemara, that they get Chenek. Or if they testify by both the man and the woman, since they can get out of the testimony and get the woman, they get the lesser punishment of the man, because if it's a Bas Kohen, she gets Sreifa, right, and he gets Chenek. So, But there are other exceptions to the rule where you don't get full hazama, you get malchus. Okay? And what's the reason? The reason you can't do it is because you, even if Muvan, that if I testify about a Kohen that is Ben Gurshman Chalutza, you can't do Hazama because I'm not a Kohen. But even if you did, right, let's say, here, who's here is the Kohen? We don't have Marty. What? All of our Kohanim are gone?
I'll be the Kohen.
Okay, Josh is the Kohen. Great. This is no halach except Bukhar, I'm a Levi, also Bukhar, whatever. Well, we're the Kohanim, right? Fine. But even if a Kohen were to testify, there's exerts the cause of that. Rasisim lo kasher zamam lo v'lo zaro, that you can only punish him and not his children. And obviously, when you make someone a halal, you're not just punishing him, you're punishing his children. Okay? So now, the obvious question here is, or it's the problem, the opening Mishnah of Makos starts with two cases, and the Brisa then expands it to four or five, which are Alpanehem. Exceptions to what? Right, because these are cases where you can't give them hazama, you give them malchus. Right, so Tosfos asks, Tema, Kaman dim huzmu, ein nasin ben grusha v'chalutza, im ken gam shelo yuzmu, ich yasa al pihim ben grusha, dachi yu ha-emes, v'amai, yu ha-vi yishachol hazima. Even if they're telling the truth, right, how could you ever believe them? It's yishachol hazima. Definitionally, since you can't give them the same punishment, right, the ain't the ages and there's not ages. So now it gives two answers, which, as all the Acharonim correctly point out, right, you don't need the Acharonim to tell you this, but they all have a lot of fun in this Tosfos, highlights the two possibilities that we raised, V'ish Lomar. So he gives two possibilities. Well, before you even read Tosfos, what's his answer going to be? Right? What are the two possibilities? Either. What? Well, hold that thought. That's going to be a very lumdish one, but that's a basic Levi, but we'll get to that. Right? Very simple, before we get really formal, right? Either Malkus counts as Hazama, even though it's not technically Kasher Zamam, it's enough, or, for some reason in this case, you don't need Hazama, right? You don't need Eish Yachal Hazima, it's an exception to the rule. So he says, the Eish Loma. Kaven Delokin have a Kasher Zamam. Ve'veshapir ad Yachal Hazima. So the first answer is, it is Hazama. Now, why is it Hazama? So, right, but why? Because, why is it okay to do that? Right? Why don't you need, you guys learn this to give Kasher Hazama?
Yes.
Right? So, what's the Chiddush of Edim Zomen? Right? How does Edim Zomen work? thank you. Good, tell me the Machlokas.
Either it's not hachasha because one of them is testifying on the body of the eidos and one's testifying on themselves, or no, it's basically hachasha and it's just a big chiddush.
Wonderful. How does the punishment of hazama work? Right? Why by hazama dafka do you get the punishment that you get? And why do you get kasher hazama? Why that? Why not malchus? Right? Why not the generic love? What is the exeris? What's the nature of the exeris hakatsuv? Right? Why? Why? Why would you say Kasher Zamam Lasos Achav? Vachiv. You didn't do this. Why? Right? Why would you get that punishment? What's the svara for it? Right? The greatest kasuv. Good. Good.
I would say so. Like,
let me give you Gemara. Okay. Gemara in Ksubos has the following. The Gemara says, "Do you get Gemara in Ksubos of Lamed Gimel? Right? Do you get Hasra'a? Do Edim Zomah need Hasra'a?" Right, so the Gemara says, first it says, you don't need Hasra for technical reasons, because when are you going to give it to them? You can give it, as soon as they walk into court, they're going to walk out. You're going to give it to them, you know, in the middle, right? They're going to forget by the end. You give it at the end, right? It's already done, right? They've already done the crime, right? So then when are you going to give it? You can't, you don't get Hasra. And then the Gemara says, Abai says, Lav Milsahi De Amri. That's not it. Right, what is it? You give them kasher zamam right? And he tried to punish the defendant without hasra, therefore you punish him without hasra. What's strange about that, Gemara? What?
You should send the hasra.
Well, more problematic. Why didn't the defendant get hasra?
He didn't do anything.
It never happened. They're Edom Zomim. They're lying. Mazek Hasher Zomim, right? What does it even mean? Right? It doesn't even make sense. I'll give you another example, right? Gemara Makos Daf Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara says that another one of the exceptions is that you can't make Edom Zomim by Eved Ivri. Right, if someone testifies and he's going to be sold as an Eved Ivri. Right, so the Gemara has a Havamina from Rav Hamnuna. Right, Sava Rav Hamnuna Lameimar Hani Mili Hecha Deisnu Lididei Olesnu Lididu. Right, if he has money and they don't have money, so then they won't go. They won't be sold as an Eved Ivri because they could say. Since he won't be sold, we can't be sold, right? But if he doesn't have money, but they do have money, so then he will be sold. Then the Gemara says no, because they'll say, if we were in his place, we wouldn't have been sold, right? Now what's the problem? Right, before we even get to Maskan of the Gemara, what's the problem with this line?
He didn't do anything.
Well, more than that. What is Kasher Zamam? Right? If you think that the punishment is you get what they were going to punish him with, who cares that if you were in his place, you wouldn't have been sold as a slave, you would have been chayav money. You tried to sell him as a slave. What was even the Havamina? Right? So, there's many more riyas to what I'm about to say, right? Rav Chanan doesn't pick up the second one, he picks up the first one, and claims that what is Hazama?
The whole point of Edis is that you're trying to create a reality. And basically, what the Edom Zomim are doing is that they're creating a false reality.
Good.
So even though it's false, they've technically already declared it as a possibility.
Perfect.
And for that possibility.
Exactly, right? What Rav Chanan says is, what does Edis do? Edis creates a legal reality, creates a Gemar Din, right? If they accept the testimony, so then it creates a Gemar Din. Somebody got to get punished now. Right? Somebody legally killed. Right? No one really killed, but legally somebody killed. So now we have a Gemar Din floating in the air. And then people come in and say, it can't be that happened. Yimanu Ayisim. So what do we do with the Gemar Din?
You throw it on someone else.
You throw it on someone else. Who do you throw it on? Edom Zomim. Good. And what does he use to explain this rule? The least understandable rule in Edom Zomim, which is? Kasher Zomim v'lo Kasher Asa. That if you actually put the person to death, then you don't punish the Edom Zomim. Why? So there are a whole bunch of reasons why. Maybe because it was too egregious of a punishment, they can't even be punished anymore. But a simple explanation to say no. The whole point, the chiddush of Edom Zomim, is that they created a legal reality, which is now floating in midair, because it turns out that it was false. And the gzeiras hagozev is that we turn it back on them. But it was already used up. Right? Nothing to do with it. Right?
Like outside the world of abundance, that makes no sense.
that might be true, but it's just, I don't like weird lumdas. The problem is it's too meduya, you can do what he suggests. So sometimes you just gotta give up. What? It's meduya again 100 suggests. I think when I learned Makos, if I remember, I have to look for my notes from when I did it in Shana Aleph, but I have like 15 different proofs from different suggests. This is true. Yeah, Benji.
We have cases though that where you do have valid ones, and like, and the guy walks in, you don't get it. It's only zoning that we punish the person.
That's a good question.
If it's in the air, we need to give someone.
Well, because Hakashan does it, really. Why only is one? A very good question. I have no idea. It's still there's a cause of pain, but chidusho. Yeah, Ariel.
So this, I guess, is similar to like David's point. But so we're not saying they're actually deserving of that punishment. It's just that. It's there, and therefore they're the most guilty in the case. So therefore,
yeah, that's basically what Rav Chanan says, right? I don't want to get bogged in that part of the sugya, even though it's important to do it, because now if you come back to our sugya, right, what that tells you is what? That the ability to be mazim is, as we said, the most fundamental rule in Eidos. Why? Because, what does it teach you about Eidos, right? The whole thing of Eidos is Xeris HaKasuv, right? We don't know why you're believed. Right? But we do believe you. But now what happens when you subvert the system and you created a legal result that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't accord with reality, but we need to do something with it because all of Eidos doesn't accord with reality. I mean, it does, but it doesn't, right? It's a Gzeres HaKasuv. So what do? We reverse it. You need the ability to implement Hazama. Right? That's Eidos HaKal Hazima. Now, that would be the uber-fundamental way of understanding this, right? The technical way of understanding is, no, it's just a punishment that you give, right, to scare people into not lying. Now, we come back to our question. Now, why is this case okay? So we have two possibilities. Again, first answer in Tosfos is you get Malkus. Why would Malkus be sufficient if you don't believe anything that I just said? Right? If you think that Yishuach HaZimah is a technical din, the din of Edim Zomim is a technical din, meaning it's a really egregious punishment, it's a really egregious crime which we attach a really egregious punishment to. And in order practically to ensure that Edim tell the truth, we need to scare you. So if it's technically impossible, so then what do? We punish you in some other way, and that's enough. That's the first answer in Tosfos. But if you continue, he says, "V'kasha dim kain my kamar perik ha'yubodkin gabe edin I'm rasa dihilo miktala kaven de inulo miktala mishum shechol lomar lazar al ba'elabanu v'hav yala edus yatochol azima u'my kamar rami kam v'akam lokin." Right, but in the case that we saw in Sanhedrin Mem Aleph, you could give her malchus, and yet we call it yata yochol azima. So first, the words of it, Yesh Lomer, the Hasim came in Shabbat, the Chayva Misa Vizamu, La Harog, the Nevesh, Loma Kain Gashar, Zama, Mamalkas. Gaba Hed Yoksev, Nevesh, Ben Nevesh, Gabi Hazam, the Eidos Nefashos, Velo Chajiv Al Hazim, Mamalkas. Aval Hacha, Shalokiv, and El Shavu, Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, Duleka, Ki Im La Bama, came in Zalakul, Chashiv, Shabbat, Yach Hazima. So the first answer still defends the previous answer, which is, Misa is an exception, and you still understand that if you understand Yach Hazima, it's purely practical. Right? Because you say, look, I understand, Malkus will scare you away from testifying about some minor crime. But if you're trying to kill your arch enemy, and you say, if you fail, we'll hit you, right? That's not going to do it, right? You need to threaten him with the same punishment he's trying to give to the person, with death, right? But fundamentally, it's still just practical, right? For a normal crime, Malkus is enough, even if it's not Hazama. For me, so it's not. The Odi is longer for the next answer. The Gabe Edus Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Lo Chashin and Klal, but the Yochel Azima. The other possibility is no. By Edus Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, you don't need Hazama at all. The Mehicha Nafkal and the Bein Yochel Azima. Because where do you learn it from? Mikasha Zama. V'Muchak B'Gemara the Kasha Zama Lo Nichlav the Gabe Edus Ben Grusha. V'Lo Kai Klal Olel B'Shum Tzadshav Olam. The other one is, we learn out the rule of Hazama of Eidos Shiyata Yochel Hazima from Kasher Zomam. Kasher Zomam doesn't apply to Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, which means we can have the case without Hazama whatsoever. Why do you get Malkus? You did an Aveira. Whatever. The Gemara has a different pasuk for it, right? Etc. Not Losana, whatever. Adion and Abbeis. But this is not Hazama. You don't always need Hazama. When do you need Hazama? When the Gzeres HaKasuv applies. When do you not need Hazama? When the Gzeres HaKasuv doesn't apply, right? So the Yachronim correctly point out, it sounds like Tosfos is grappling with this question, right? Why is it that Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza is okay with Malkus? So first answer is, it is Eidos Shiyata Yochel Hazima, because Eidos Shiyata Yochel Hazima just means you have to punish them. Presumably why? Because he's got to scare him. So fine, give him Malkus, don't give him the crime, it doesn't matter. The second one is, no, Eidos Shiyata Yochel Hazima is Gzeres HaKasuv. But it's only Gzeres HaKasuv when it's Gzeres HaKasuv. If it's not Gzeres HaKasuv, it's not Gzeres HaKasuv. Right? And presumably that stems from the more fundamental understanding that the Edim Zomim are punished not stam because they did a crime and we give them a bad punishment because they're a really horrible crime. But it's fundamental is that it teaches you something about the legal system, that Hazama, right, teaches you that there is a reality to din, right? And what Hazama does is it punishes you by reversing it, but that only, and therefore it's a formal requirement that you need that ability, right, to reverse the din onto you. But if the Gzeres HaKasuv doesn't apply, so it doesn't. It's just a requirement. And even if sometimes it doesn't make sense, so it doesn't make sense. Another example. Look at, skip for a moment, 13. Skip for a moment, 13. We'll go to 14. Right, this is a Tosfos which appears many places in Shas about Ein Eid Nasa Dayan. So Tosfos is figuring out, why is it true that Ein Eid Nasa Dayan? She says, "Ein eid lechoshta raisa, but the raisa ain eid nasa dayan. V'taima the ain eid nasa dayan mishum debeinon sheidu lefnei hadayanin kemoshim afarish Rashbam." So the Rashbam says you need it for formal reasons, that you need the eidim to be able to testify in front of the judges, and if you are the eid and the judge, so it doesn't work. The other possibility, mishum debeinon yeidu sheyadayochol azima. ve'im ha'edim nasu dayanin, edish ein ato yochazim, hazimahi, shlo yikabu hazam al atzman. Other people say that it's edish yitayachal hazimah. Why is it edayachal hazimah? Because they won't accept hazam against themselves. Right? Now, that strongly militates in which direction? Is edish yitayachal hazimah a formal role or a practical role? Practical rule, right? It's not that they couldn't, right? If they wanted to, they could make themselves Adam Zomen. It's not like they're mufka from it. They just wouldn't, right? The very fact they wouldn't means that it's all over, because it's not that in theory you need them to be able, you need them to be mezimable, right? You need practically that they would actually make them Adam Zomen. Umil, if you can tamzem, Adam Krovim, the Dayanim, in Michon Lahayat. But then he challenges this, because if that was true, then you could never have Krovin of Dayanin, right, in court. But that's not true, because they could be Adam Zoman in another court, right? Which militates in what direction? Well, I don't know. It could be either, right? It could be that it's practical and we actually worry about it, or that even if they're not going to go to another bezin, formally they could. And then he continues. Right, but you see that Tosis is very clearly grappling with this question, right? And at least in his first right answer before he rejects it, right? He very clearly thinks Ejachalazim is a very practical halacha. If practically it can't be an Ejomim, then it doesn't matter. And that's all there is to it. Okay. We'll go back to Meiri just to read it. V'shem etem ha'reza idosh yechal hazimah mitzan ha'nirva sh'nirva onis o sh'nirva kadon o'goy o me'kach matzil ha'gdol ha'doros v'manu l'divrem sh'kol ha'idosh hu me'oshen do yechal hazimah mitzan echar al v'yirina yechal hazimah mitkol sadeh idosh yechal hazimah hu v'chayim ha'achar sh'bei arnu v'edim sh'idu al trefish ha'arek sh'in trefa nerag al p'hem sh'im huzmu ein ha'ragan af idim sh'im trefa sh'organ al p'hem yal sh'alim sh'arek v'huzmu ein ha'ragan p'nei sh'im huzmu zomen ein ha'ragan sh'lo hazimah ela. Trefa, right? He just points out here that you don't need to be a full Ejomim, you need to have partial Hazama, right? Like at least one person in the crime, you need to be able to, right, be an Ejomim on him, right? Why that's true, again, I mean, this could go in either direction, but it's just important to think about it, right? That could really be justified for both reasons. Okay. Another manifestation of this comes up in the Ramban. So the Gemara in Daf Hey deals with the question of what happens when you have Right, how far do you go? Right? So the Ramban's commenting on that says like this. Right, they understand it this way. Two, 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 two. You just keep killing people as they become Adam Zomen. Then they explain why it's not a problem. Because we say, look, it's the whole world can have been there. Klomer came in the bow. Arba kiddush kol achas mezim lechaverte in Haman. And since they go two, 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 you don't believe them. The chashim and dimal ikal mehader umoger umaisi sade shikri dadu kol hani gabe hani habu kaimi veshigirza rishonam haki hu adu kule ama hani gabe hani habu kaimi vachi deklishna. Right. So the case is right. At some point, we just stop accepting Adim. Right after zomme zomen. I think. Right, we just stop accepting. Right, that's it. Right, we're done. Right, Bezin just stops accepting. So he says, "V'e kashalach." So now you'll ask me a question. Right, you don't accept the fourth set of witnesses. So then the third set should also be possible because the heir edus yachal azima. And if they're possible, the kashia nami. And then, if the second are, then the first are, and then the whole thing would always collapse. Right? So he says like this. It's not that the Edim are puzzled. It's that Beis Din is just confused at this point, right? We just can't accept anybody else. So we just stop it. It's not that the fifth set of Edim, the sixth set of Edim wouldn't have been Edim. It's not that fundamentally the fourth cot is Mufka from being Mizimable. It's just that practically Beis Din is like, we just can't, right? At some point, there's too many people, something is fishy, we're just closing the court case and we're closing the door, no one can come in, no one can testify. So practically, we can never accept anyone, but fundamentally, you are subject to Azama. And if I were to accept a fifth cot, then you would be Edim's own men. Just practically, we're not. So, the Ramban here takes the, right, how does the Ramban understand Ezer Chalazima? What?
Totally formally,
right? They can't be Edim's own men. You're right, they just can't be. But it's still fine, because formally, it's Ezer Chalazima, just practically, it's not. And so it's clear that he takes the formal approach. Some want to suggest that this machlokes, I never really loved doing this, appears already in the Gemara, right, which is the next source, but Bakamada Fain Hey. El Milzach Rizay Kamenayu, I cut out most of the discussion, but fine. Kagon, here's the case. To Azu Beit Trey, Amrili Gonavta, two Edim come in and tell someone he stole. Amrilu in Gonavti Vidvachti Vimacharti. He said, yeah, I stole, I shechted, and I sold. Which would make him Chayev Dalad Vehei, right? But he turns to Edom and said, you're right, but you weren't there. Right? You're right, I stole, but I would never be stupid enough to steal in front of you. I stole in front of them. Okay? And then two other Edom come and confirm his words that the first set of Edom were in fact not there. Right? So now we have the first set of Edom are Edom's own men. But he's still chayev because he admitted to the crime. Okay? But now a third set of Edom come in, and they are actually the people he committed the crime in front of, and now they testify. Got the case? One more time. Right? I'll be the criminal here, it's fine. Okay? I stole. Right? You claim that I stole. I say, it's true I stole, but you weren't there. Right? Really, it was Reuven and Ilan were there. Right? Now, Matt and Wattman come in and say, in fact, it's true that Shver and Yoni were not there. They were in the Beis Midrash, right, where they should be. They were not watching me commit a crime somewhere else in Alon Shvut, you know, which has now, you know, raised the crime in Alon Shvut by, 300%. Right? I remember when this happened in Newton. Do you remember this happened in Newton? Newton went crazy because there was one armed robbery, and it went in one day from being the city with the least crime in the entire country to the 10th, because they had not had a single violent crime in like 30 years. And then Ilan and Reuven come in and say, we actually were there when he stole. And I say, in the Harami, they were in fact there when I stole. Right? Yeah, so now everybody's here. Right, the original people were lying about having seen me, but it's true that I stole, and then the original Edom come in and tell me that, in fact, they saw me steal. Yeah, we're good? So now what happens? So the Gemara brings a machlokas of what happens, and we'll see what happens. The Gemara says, the argument, we'll see in a moment, is about Eidesh Yechol HaZimah. Came into us, Yisadi V'amr Lei Gonavta, V'amr Lu, Gonavti V'achim V'charti, Miu, Why? Because I already admitted to my crime. Right? So now, you two cannot possibly be muzam. Because what are you going to be muzam about? You're going to force me to pay? I'm already paying. Right? Because I already admitted that I committed the crime. Therefore, you can't come in. Right? You are pasul edim. Right? Because no one can ever be muzam. What are you going to do? Punish me for the crime that I had already admitted I'm already chayv and I'm doing? Right? That doesn't make any sense. V'sumchos savar, ezhe chol azima, havya edos. Ay, v'akaymel ezhe chol azima, lo havya edos. Shumcha says, you don't need Eidah Shechal Azimah. You do need Eidah Shechal Azimah. He says, nah, you need Eidah Shechal Azimah if there's a possibility that what you're saying is false. It's a hechitimsa to confirm that what you're saying is true. But I know that what Reuven and Ilan are saying is true. I already admitted to it. I'm already paying for it. So who cares that it's Eidah Shechal Azimah? It's true. What do you care anymore about the formalities of the law? So some of the Achronim point out that it seems like, right, this machlokes is the machlokes Rabbanan and Sumchos. Sumchos says, look, there's no real rule Eidah Shechal Azimah. It's just a hechitimsa to figure out that you're telling the truth. Im b'mikra, have some other way of figuring out to tell the truth, like the criminal admitted. So fine, come in, testify whatever you want. Doesn't matter. You're not going to... Who cares if you can't become Eidim Zomen? What does it matter? I know you're telling the truth anyways. And the Rabbanan saying, no, it doesn't matter if you know that it's true. Eidah Shechal Azimah. Eidah Shechal Azimah. Lo shma Eidah.
Is that true? Just because no Eidim, whatever that he committed a crime, doesn't mean.
Yeah, of course you could always
famous,
say.
The famous kasha about in the Anakos of Hay also about whether or not if someone's really chayiv because he killed on Sunday and then Eidim come in. And
yeah, but after Gumar Din, you're potter, right?
After Gumar Din.
No, the two cases in Daf Hei, right? No, I understand. But after Gemar Din, you're potter. Why? Because he was already chayev. So even if you're lying, he's already chayev.
Yeah, he's right? Chayev.
No, he is. He already admitted it, so he has to pay. That's the point. Right? It's like testing after Gemar Din. That's exactly what he's saying. So, okay. So let's summarize what we have so far, and then we'll do some other points, and then we'll finish when our time is up. Fine. So, there's a rule called Eidah Shechal Azimah. Right, there are two basic ways of understanding. Either that it is a straight psychological deterrent, or that it's fundamental to the nature of Eidos. It's a formal rule. Now, we explained that it's not just that this rule, Eidos HaZimah, is important. As the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Zayin says, it's fundamental to the legal system. For some reason, this is fundamental to the legal system. You can't set up a court system unless you have the possibility of Hazama and Mezimen. So it's important to understand what it is, right? Some people really take it totally, totally practically, right? Rashi and the Rid say that it's that it's because they'll be scared, but it's not clear that they mean that that it's not formal. That could just be the svara behind it. But it's clear in the Tzlach who says, well, why do you only need zomen and zomen? Because after that, technically. Yeah, it could be zomi, but they're scared enough, so it doesn't matter. Right? You see, he really thinks that the whole rule is purely practical. That comes up also in the first answer of Tosfos, that you don't actually need to give the actual crime, you just need to give something that's going to scare them. For Misa, you need to give Misa. But for everything else, just give Malkos, and that's sufficient. In the Tosfos and Ksubos, right, they say that the reason that it's Eidah Shechal Azimah by Eidah Nesa Dayan is because you won't accept Hazam on yourself. Not that you couldn't, but that you wouldn't. Right? And that's enough to make it break down. The formal reason seems to emerge from Rashi in Mem Aleph, right, is that no, definitional to Eidos is Hazama. Why? So we suggested a reason, right? Because if Hazama is about the fact that testimony exists, that there's a reality to testimony, it doesn't make sense. There's a Xeris HaKasuv, that once we accept Eidos, there's a reality to that din, and we have to implement it, even though we don't really know, because God said we accept it. Which means that din takes on its own life. So the way we protect the legal system is by creating a punishment called Hazama, which is that if in fact you manipulate the system, then we manipulate it right back onto you. Right? Which would come up with a formal interpretation, right? It would make sense, it would go formally. Right? We see the formal answer in the second answer of Tosfos, which is, no, sometimes you don't need Eidah Shechal Azimah because it's a Gzeiras HaKasuv. Or in the Ramban, that sometimes that something can be considered Eidah Shechal Azimah, even if practically you can't become an Eid Zomim, but if you, in theory, could become an Eid Zomim, right? If Beis Din would accept the other Eidim, you would be. They're just not accepting them for technical reasons, right? That's enough, because formally Eidah Shechal Azimah, at the end of the day, is a formal rule. And this might even be the Machlokes in the Gemara between Sumchus and the Chachamim. Do you need the rule of Eidah Shechal Azimah when you know that Eidah is true anyways? The Chachamim say, doesn't matter if you know it's true. Right, you still need Eidah Shechal Azimah. And Sumchus says, no, in that case, you don't need it. Okay, so ad kan, the basics. Now there's a few issues that I put here in the Achronim. Let's see, it's 10 to 11. Okay, so we'll read through whatever we can in the next few minutes. Okay, should we skip this one? Let's read through it. Okay, we'll quickly read through these shuvos. I cut out some of the relevant pieces here. Okay, so look at the Nehuda. Nehuda is like this. Umata. Ani Omar, after the Pasul Eidus, Shaya Kasha Zaman Shareg, Imhuzmu Him Nefsalim, Amnam Bemez Hadin Nefsalim, Lomi Dam Kasha Zaman Lo, Ella, Mitam Risham, Shareidu Sheker, Retate the Kasha Zaman, Lo Shaykh El Nigmar Din, Vadu Eidim Shidu Al Hadam Shavar Avir Shinifzabal Eidus. That's right. The Nehuda who's talking about is whether you can have Hazama by cases of Asering Al Baila. Right, that's the gaze there, right? So he says, yeah, you, why not? Vadayan lo nigmar dina lufos lo. Vadayan lo atu enim salm le'idus mishad da asid rashu. Ava kashajam lo shayach lo klal. V'yashu lo kayim klal kashajamam sharei ima idu b'tishrei al ruven shavar avira b'nisan. Vadayan lo zikol le'idus shehei at ruven b'nisan v'chulei v'chulei. Right? So now let's go to the second paragraph. Okay? So he says, v'afilu teir tarishan shikotsu v'tosiz v'reish mako. So he's going to justify his position based on Tosfos. So he says, "The miskayim kasher zomim b'asha edim lokim v'imkein gam ka neima the miskayim kasher zomim b'malkus u'memela b'inun edus yochal azima." Right. So he said, maybe in these cases you can have a hazama because you'll give them malkus. Ela shani omer dikan afil malkus l'mechayiv. He said, "Nah, you could have cases, but you don't need malkus." And mechayiv hazomim dehare malkus shalzomim lo mitam lo sana devi lavshein bo ma'is lo mitam edus shirshu it's a tzaddik. Said no, because the reason you have a rule edus halazima is not because you need to punish them. It's exeris akasuv v'imkain v'inan shirshu beedus and edus davar gon edus shirshu chayiv galus bo lechayiv galus chen v'in grusha bo lechayiv b'chol matanus kuna v'im yavar agam yisbech yechayiv malkus mishum zor shimesh abo lefazul edus lididei ma'ich but lachi sorry bash right. And he says, so that's true in some cases, but here if you're coming, he had two cases. One is Asring Yishal Bailan, one is to possibly from Eidos. Okay, so you can't punish them, whatever, it doesn't matter. If you're testifying about someone that he's possible Eidos, or you're testifying about someone that's his wife, you're not testifying about a crime. It's Xer Zakasuv, that you need Kasher Zamam when Virshu et Tzadik, right? If you made a tzaddik into a rasha, but if you didn't, because you weren't testifying against him about a crime, you were testifying about something else, he was possibly late for whatever reason, right? So whatever, there's no issue at tzaddik, the xeris because it doesn't apply, you don't even have to give malchus, forget it. Right? And that's his conclusion, that in a case where you're not testifying about a crime, you don't even need to bother punishing, because the xeris because it doesn't apply. Right? This is, for example, against the Meiri. The Meiri explicitly says that we give malchus to somebody for testifying falsely about Eidus HaChodesh, right? Which is clearly a case where there's no crime involved, but it's Xeris HaKasev. It's not Xeris HaKasev, right? You need to give something, because otherwise you can never have Eidim, so you give them malchus, right? So one of the nafkaminas to this is, do you give Eidim, right? Do you need to punish when there is no crime, right? When they're just false witnesses. Right, so if you think it's a deterrent, presumably you've always needed a deterrent. Right, but if you think it's a formal Xeris HaKasuv, so then you could construe an argument like the Yehuda does, that in fact you would not need the rules of Hazama. Okay, if you look at the Beis HaLevi, the next source, yeah, fine. So he says like this. So le'inyan kishazrin Yehuda amin alav ba'atlasat taimei, ach lemer daha ikar adavar dabai idim shivakagir, ein ikar tam mishum diyeyeh. So he said, first thing you should know, that Drisha v'chakira is separate from Eidus HaChol HaZimah. Those are two separate rules. Right? Because on Daf Mem, maybe a Gemara, there's just the call, Hashiv v'chakira z'lo sagi l'b'achtayim l'bin Yochol HaZimah, v'atam l'zeh, t'avadet gam im lo amru b'ezeh yom, Yochol HaZimah, al-yidei sh'amru imanu ha'yisem, kol ha'yovel. And his proof is that in theory you could come out with Drisha v'chakira that wouldn't need Hazama, right? You could say, they've been with us literally for the last 50 years, right? So they were always with us. Right, that doesn't count for Drisha HaKira, but it counts to make something Adam's right to allow them to be zomim. V'ha'ad Marshina Tam the Chakir Zamar Min Yodei Apalz Mishum Dein Yochal Azima Da'Kar Chak Mishum Gama Balik Tein Tam Rabbi Digos Torah Gamkin Rise of Yilachi Im Amru Ein Yodei Kasher Ba'Kar Chak Hadet Tzricha Torah Bidigos Ein Zet Tanai Bidine Eidos V'Lavachi Yeh Apalzol Rak Who Mitz Miuchedes Al Beis Yivsko Osam B'Chol Asher Yal Al Daitam Dilma Mitocha Bidigos. By the way, Adam, Areu commotion, Mitzvah, Dayanim, Talk, but it's close. Tchilak, Adomim, Dayanim, Shall have Dayanim, Alkium, Ados, Ainu, Tali, Bazak, Klo. So, first thing he says, Drishav Hakira is separate from Ishak Hazima. Oji, Shlomar. There are hard to be in a Shiokal Hazima. She said, now, why do you need Hazama? Navglan, Mikra, Dixiv, Behuvini, Echekara, Echekara, Nabachiv, Darshinan, Shidishakar, Gufa, Shalidus, Dahainu, Hazama, Shalmano, Yisem, Asisan, Lokajan, Masochiv. Vim Kane, Harei b'hai kroksiv dim yitzamu ha'edim ayidei imanu ha'yisam yizchayvu kasher zomam. Ubala kabala dina edusan miskayim rak she'efshar l'kayim b'hu haikra. So what is Yisrael Azima? It's Xeris HaKosov, which is that you need to do, be able to do Azama. V'im kain, hadar min mekama duchti b'gemarat, v'inin edus yachal Aziman, snovel shneinan mekavanos. He said, what's the Xeris HaKosov? Right? There's two things. Achas deboy dafka she yachal Azimam, tahainu lachishem ayde Azama dimanu ayisem, who dixiv b'kra v'inei etchekar ha'ed. Sheinit, v'inin yachal kain b'him chiyuva dekasher Azamam, So we'll skip the rest of him. Here he says no. Why is it that, right, this is a different pshat. Why is it that Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza is considered Eidus Sha'ata Yachal Hazima? Because what does Eidus Sha'ata Hazima mean? Until now, what have we been assuming that Eidus Sha'ata Hazima means? They are able to punish Al Yedei Hazama. Right? And that's Sovel Shnei Pirushim, right? You could either say that technically you have to instill fear, or you have to say it's Xeris HaKosov. He says something totally different. He says, no, you misunderstood the whole sugya. And here he challenges the Nod Yehuda. We won't get into the exact details, but you can read through it and work it out, right? He says, no, why is Eidus Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, or Eidus of Pasaling Eidus, right? Why in these cases do you not need to punish, right? He wants arguments in Nod Yehuda and say that you don't need to even give them malchus, right? And yet, it would still be kosher, meaning Eidus Yachal Azima. He said, what does Eidus Yachal Azima mean? Two things. One is that you could punish Al Yedei Hazama. Two is that you could pasul the Eidus Al Yedei Hazama. Right? Those are two different things. Right? Eidus Yachal Azima is a purely formal rule that means you, the Eidus needs to be subject to becoming pasul via the mechanism of Hazama. Now, which pshat does he very strongly fall into? Right? Which side is Eidus Yachal Azima? It's formal. Why? Because I can throw out the punishment. It's not about the punishment at all. It's about the purely technical rule, which is Eidus Yachal Azima. So this, the extreme, extreme formulation of that, that it's purely formal, is the Beis Halevi. He's a proto-brisker. This is really formal. I don't really understand it exactly. It's a Xeris HaKosov. At that point, I don't really have a svara for it. Okay, well, because I promised to finish on time, I won't read the next stuff. What the rest of the sources are at HaSof are the question of whether you need Eidus Yachal Azima by Dini Mamonos as well. Which is, you can understand already how this is going to get in the question. You have multiple deas, you don't need it by mamonos, only by crimes. And again, this comes down to the same questions, right? If you think it's a deterrent, so then even if they're not testifying about crimes, then you need it. If you think it's a formal rule on crimes, then you can, as you find in the Nod Yehuda, you can come with the Xeris HaKosov. So that's source 20, 21, and 22. The Machlokas Achronim, you can read it yourself because it's already 11. So just to quickly summarize again, right, two basic approaches in Eidus Yachal Azima. Either it's a formal way of deterring, either it's a way of deterring the people from testifying falsely, or it's a formal rule. If it's a formal rule, right, presumably why is it a formal rule? Because, as we saw, the ability to be mazim is central to Eidus. Why? Because it tells you something very fundamental about the nature of din, which is Eidim are central because there's Xeris HaKosov that we have to accept them. And therefore they create legal realities that are not necessarily totally in reality, right? Legal realities. Therefore, the way we create a system in which Eidus means something is that we force people who manipulate the system to suffer the repercussions of that, right? Which creates a formal rule, right? That's presumably what is behind it. You think it's a formal rule, which is why this sugya is, you know, sort of central to understanding how right the nature of Sanhedrin works. As we saw, there are nafkaminas to this, right? Is malchus sufficient, or is that in certain cases when you can't do it, you don't even need Xeris HaKosov? Is it when you're not punishing someone? Is there no Eidus Yachal Azima, or do you give Malchus in that case? What if you can pasul the Eidus Al Yedei Hazama, but you can't actually punish people? Possibly the Machlokas in the Gemara, what if you have outside warrant to tell you that the Eidus is true? Does that waive the necessity of Eidus Yachal Azima? What if there are practical concerns that are preventing you from becoming an Eid Zomim, but fundamentally you could be an Eid Zomim? Does, right, all those nafkaminas, highlight this question, but what's behind that question, I tried to get to, and again, the makaros at the end are the question of Dine Mamonos, but you can read that yourself and plug it into the svaras that we raised. Tov, it is a